Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see things from a very different perspective. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com. And remember, I spell Kevin like the number 7. Be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Weekly Wisdom. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now, on to the KevCast. Hello, everyone. We are back with another episode of the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm really, really glad that you made it here after Thanksgiving. I hope you guys all had a wonderful time of celebration with family, eating turkey, watching football, all the different traditions that go on. Hopefully, more than anything else, you are truly thankful. Today, however, we are going to be talking about painful reality. Now, the title is a little bit misleading, but it's also very poignant. So hopefully after this podcast, you will have a clearer understanding of exactly what I mean. So without any further ado, let's get started. Today, we're going to talk about painful reality. Now, the word God carries many diverse connotations. I mean, it's kind of a nebulous term. Now, I learned that when I use the term God, I end up confusing some people, and thus it's easy for them to misunderstand my point. You see, some people have a very narrow and very particular idea about God, while others have a much wider, less determinate idea about God. Thus, the term God isn't always helpful to everybody. I found that using the term ultimate reality, divine reality, or even talking about truth are other ways to get at the ideas and the theology that are behind the word God. Of course, there are always those religious followers of mine that mistakenly assume that because I'm not using the term God or specifically saying something as Jesus, that they conclude that I'm conveying some form of a diminished form of the gospel by simply the fact that I opt for inclusivity rather than exclusivity. I think as you get to know me and my content, you'll understand why that is. But in essence, I simply prefer not to put the barriers up for anyone. I would hate for somebody to have some idea about God that is really jacked up, and we know that most of us have a very confused, if not jacked up, idea about God, and then for them to reject God altogether because of that limited perspective. You know, none of us really start with the bar that high anyway when it comes to spiritual matters, so I'm very inclusive. And I try and invite as many comers into the conversation as possible. So that's why I do the things I do, say the things I say. Now, moving on. Our world loves reality, whereas it may not love God. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. I think most of us are confused about what reality is. For example, we have what we call reality TV. Now, while the characters in these shows may not be scripting everything that they say, clearly these shows are totally staged. You know, thus they're not really real. They are contrived reality. Furthermore, watching a TV show is anything but real. Just like watching a football game is anything like playing the game. Most people in our country develop and have and possess a spectator mentality. And I think that is a key into how we understand why we're confused about reality. When it comes to reality, we have a spectator kind of approach. But you see, reality cannot be fully known from afar. Reality must be experienced up close and personal. This is not to say that we cannot learn from vicarious experience. We can. I'm only saying that learning about something and knowing something are not the same thing. Gaining knowledge is absolutely valuable. But it is not the same as experiential knowledge. We've heard these terms like book knowledge and head knowledge and street knowledge. They're very different. Sometimes vicarious knowledge is all we can ever have. As in, you know, men who will never know experientially what it is like to be pregnant, whereas women can know that experientially. A Cuvade syndrome or a sympathetic pregnancy is about as close as a man can get. It's not really pregnant. It's just a kind of a fake sympathetic pregnancy. We can only get knowledge of our son from the distance, right? Our best experience is 93 million miles away. When we get any closer, bad things start to happen. I think this is why so many people are confused about ultimate reality, about God. Because our default mode is to spectate or live vicariously. See, we learn about stuff, but we don't get all in. We like to hedge our bets. We play it safe. We don't want to get sucked into some cult. We don't want to be lured in and trapped and imprisoned. We're about freedom. And those kinds of conversations get really scary. And the next thing you know, if you agree with somebody, you're going to be pulled into some weird sect or even a religion, or you're going to have to give up your Sundays or something. Right? So we're very cautious when it comes to ultimate reality. You know, talking about God is just like this. Theology is like this. Churches, pastors, parishioners, they often are only spectators. Now, well, I've worked in churches for more than 25 years, and I can tell you that trying to get the parishioners off of the pew and into their life is a totally different game. Most of them will acquiesce to the knowledge you're teaching, but getting them to apply it into their life is a totally different level. And that's where the pastor or the teacher is trying to get them to experience, not just learn about. See what I'm saying? You know, a map, for instance, if you have a map of the beach, it's great. And I use this example in all my coaching and with a lot of folks, so bear with me if you've heard it before. But, you know, a map of the beach will tell you where the restrooms are. It'll tell you where the water is. It'll tell you all these things. But it's not the same as having your feet in the sand. You know, we learn about God rather than experience God. And that's a vital difference. Now, this doesn't mean that we should abandon learning about God or about ultimate reality for experience ultimate reality, nor vice versa. You see, we need sacred text to inform our experience. We need that. But we also have to have experience to make sure that our grasp of the text is actually correct. You can read a book about what it's like to be pregnant, but until you've gone through pregnancy and delivery, you wouldn't really be that helpful to somebody who's pregnant, right? You can't really lead anybody where you haven't been yourself. So we need both. We need the map and we need our feet in the sand. They come together into something which is really cool. And what's amazing is that science is figuring this all out. The quantum physics department is starting to talk with the biophysics department. Before, they never really interacted, so to speak. And the non-empirical realities, like consciousness, are starting to be understood in a new way. In other words, ultimate reality is no longer just matter and motion. Instead, ultimate reality, from a scientific perspective, is an interconnected relationship between the cosmos and non-physical reality or consciousness. Isn't that amazing? Science is essentially saying what religion has been teaching. There is both word and flesh, according to John 1 in the first chapter. Think about that. The cosmos and non-physical reality are an interconnected relationship, according to science. You know, a lot of religious practice ends up being a spectator approach, though, to ultimate reality. I mean, think about it. We wind it up into tidy little salvation narratives. we then assign a bunch of duties and requirements. Or you got to have a particular yoga practice. You have to do the five pillars or the 10 rules. You know, and then if you keep your head down and suspend your unbelief long enough, then if you get to the end, you'll get a prize. That is also very exclusive. Most religion is exclusive to their particular religion or their perspective. And thus, it ends up being very competitive with other perspectives. Our religion is more truthful than yours. Our perspective has more knowledge than yours. Ours has been around longer. Ours is the only one that is that matters, that is really true. This is the only one that can save you. We get into these competitive perspectives, and I'm going to be talking a lot in December about exclusivity, but we're going to get away from that for right now. But just table that idea for a minute. Most religion is very exclusive. And this means that each sees their perspective as having the secret sauce. And so the message religion is giving the modern world is, you know, try our secret sauce. It's the only one that counts. And most of the world, the modern world anyway, looks in and says, I don't really see God in there. In other words, you make God into a very particular and specific definition. And if that particular and specific definition isn't upheld, then you're an outsider. And so when people from the outside look in who don't have that perspective, what other possible view could they have? See where I'm going? Now I'm going to switch gears. There's really one place where the entire world in all of human history doesn't lack confusion about reality. There's one place where learned knowledge and experiential knowledge all converge. And that place is pain. Pain is an entry point then for the world to apprehend a bit of ultimate reality. Pain is a doorway through which we all pass. There is so much diversity of pain too. There's physical pain, chronic pain, there's acute pain, emotional pain, social pain, economic pain, and spiritual pain. It all comes in various levels. Sometimes it's, you know, something we just get over really quickly. Other times, pain is something we never get over. You know, when you have pain and it's protracted over a long period of time, we call that suffering. Pain is something we feel sympathetically. Now, this is a physical reality. Inside each of us is a vagus nerve. And whenever that nerve is firing, it's because we are sympathetically experiencing the pain of others. Just watch some of those videos where somebody falls off a skateboard or gets hit with a bat or does something and gets hurt or gets cut. You flinch, you feel pain, you feel empathy. You go, ooh, ow, that hurts. That is a sympathetic experience. That's the vagus nerve in action. So we are wired to connect to each other through pain. It's amazing. We watch another get hurt and we experience it ourselves. Ultimate reality can be seen through this portal. Now, pain illuminates my point here. When it comes to pain, none of us are spectators only. We all possess experiential knowledge. You know, though our toe may not be hurting right now, nearly every one of us knows what it feels like to stub our toe. This should elicit from us a tremendous amount of compassion for others. Our pain experience means that we need to be compassionate about other pain experiences and understanding. Sadly, though, in our modern life, we're kind of anesthetized to that. We're taught that we're born this way, that we're born unsympathetic. We're taught that we are deprived. Totally deprived. We're told that we have this evil nature, fallen nature, broken nature, that we see ourselves as disconnected and distinct from others and from all aspects of the world. You know, we are taught otherness. We're taught distinctions. And that is where pain gets protracted. Pain is a shared experience. And as such, it has a greater purpose of bringing us all together. Do you see that now? Let's go one step deeper. People often doubt the existence of God precisely because there is so much pain and suffering in the world. Have you ever heard anybody say that? You know, how could God exist if there's so much useless suffering in the world? If he's all loving and all powerful, why doesn't he do something about all these terrible things? That is a common question. And it's a valid question. And that creates a doubt about the existence of God. But hopefully now you can see why I started by talking about how we are confused spectators. You know, I think the reason I'm so compelled to the messianic story is that this is one story where God is not a spectator. He's not up there on some cloud at a distance looking down. This is not ultimate reality that knows us from long distance. This is a God story that's acquainted with our grief and our pain and our suffering, as it says in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 3 and 4. This is a God who has experiential knowledge of pain. Most certainly, then, she has compassion for ours. We learn that in Hebrews chapter 4. See, this God's pain story is a shared experience with ours. It's more than a sympathetic connection. It has a purpose of bringing us together. So this is another way of saying that God is quantumly entangled with us. Science sees this. And religion and faith explains it. You could say that this is painful reality. As such, it immediately cancels out any notion that pain is ever senseless. See, the worst thing that could ever happen to humanity in this story happened to God. That is painful ultimate reality. This makes pain meaningful, even beautiful. It's not supposed to be enjoyable, but pain does build us up and it helps us grow up. Pain is the very love of God coming to us in and as our pain. It is her pain, God's pain. Pain experientially connects us to ultimate reality. And no human being has ever been left out. All humanity is given this. It is a solidarity that is apprehended like no other means, and pain is only temporary. When pain is gone, what is left in its place is a new kind of transformed humanity, because we are all shaped by our pain. So if we ignore our pain, we risk not learning from it. Those who have been through pain are then responsible to reach out to those in pain. So next time you're thinking about all the people and all the wrong and all this terrible that's going out in the world, what if you were to look out and say, those are people in pain. Those are people who are suffering. And there's something about your own suffering and your own pain that should give you compassion for those out there. If that's true, we're tapping into a very beautiful spiritual teaching. This is something into which you can truly grow your soul. Scars then are beautiful because they are not contrived reality. Scars are ultimate reality bared upon our bodies. Scars tell us we didn't settle for the sidelines or a Cuvade syndrome life experience. Scars help us see God and others, because they are the point where where our reality and our ideas converge. It's the juncture between the material and the spiritual. the non-physical and the physical, the word and the flesh, the body and the spirit. Both are ultimately and painfully real. I hope you've enjoyed this edition of the KevCast. I want you to come back for the next episode. Thanks so much for tuning in to the KevCast. It really means a lot that you give your time and energy to this. It's my goal that this content is challenging sometimes, but mostly helpful, inspiring, and encouraging to you. It's my goal that in the end, you become a much better person. And guess what? I'll become a better person if I hear from you. I welcome your feedback, good or bad. I'd love to start a dialogue with you. If I can answer any questions, please reach out to me at my website, www.kevinwinder.com. Now, remember, I'm a member of the Experts Academy, and I help people who want to understand spirituality to make sense of their religious experience so that they can clearly see God in the world. Until next time, have a great day.